Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, it's time to move on now from Vedam tutor to Bhajan tutor. I'm Team Ready Size Vishu. The time in the studio is now 6:48. And without taking any more time, let us move on to dwell on one beautiful Sai Bhajan. The holy month of Ramadan begins. It's a month of prayer. And bhajans are nothing but beautiful prayers. Let us begin with a prayer. Let us offer our most grateful and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we strive every moment of our lives to feel You in everything we do, to see You in everything that we are engaged in all throughout the day, all throughout our life. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we learn a bhajan which adores our beloved Bhagwan as the divine energy principle, as the divine mother. The first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
So let's now become familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on, like in every episode of this program, to the tune, the raga, the beat, and also discuss about the bhava aspect of this bhajan. How can we use this bhajan to connect with the divine? And that would be explained to us in this bhajan by Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, as well as a regular singer at the Sundaram Bhagwan's abode in the city of Chennai.
Simha Vahini Sai Narayani Mata Maheshwari Durga Bhavani Simha Vahini Sai Narayani Akhilandeshwari Jaya Jagat Janani Abhaya Pradayini Ananda Rupini Mangala Karini Moksha Pradayini.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, here is the tune sung very slowly by Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp Pancham. Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Mata Maheshwari Durga Bhavani.
Mata Maheshwari Durga Bhavani.
Mata Maheshwari Durga Bhavani.
Mata Maheshwari Durga Bhavani.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Akhilandeshwari Jaya Jagajanani.
ಅಖಿಲಾಂಡೇಶ್ವರಿ ಜಯ ಜಗಜನನಿ, ಅಖಿಲಾಂಡೇಶ್ವರಿ ಜಯ ಜಗಜನನಿ, ಅಖಿಲಾಂಡೇಶ್ವರಿ ಜಯ ಜಗಜನನಿ, ಅಭಯ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ ಆನಂದ ರೂಪಿಣಿ, ಅಭಯ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ ಆನಂದ ರೂಪಿಣಿ, ಅಭಯ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ ಆನಂದ ರೂಪಿಣಿ, ಅಭಯ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ ಆನಂದ ರೂಪಿಣಿ, ಮಂಗಳಕಾರಿಣಿ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ, ಮಂಗಳಕಾರಿಣಿ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ, ಮಂಗಳಕಾರಿಣಿ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ, ಮಂಗಳಕಾರಿಣಿ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನಿ, ಸಿಂಹವಾಹಿನಿ ಸಾಯಿ ನಾರಾಯಣಿ.
So that is how this lovely bhajan dedicated to the mother flows. Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh give us a beautiful demonstration. It's a lovely raga. And Brother Anirudh is here with us to tell us more about this beautiful composition. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the technical beauty behind this lovely tune?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
As I mentioned, it's a lovely bhajan in the raga. I guess it is Jana Sammohini. The flavor of Jana Sammohini is there in this bhajan, which is a Carnatic raga. Where if you look at the notes of Jana Sammohini, you have Sari Shudri Ga Shudga Pa Dha Shuddha Ni Komal Ni
Sa Sa Ni Dha Pa Ga Pa Ga Ga Re Sa Ni Sa Sa Re Ga Pa Dha Ni Dha Ga Pa Dha Ni Ni Sa Ga pa da ni sa re re ne ne re ga ga pa re ne re sa dha ne dha ga pa da ni da pa
Jana Sammohini. Whereas in this bhajan you can see in some places there is Sa Re Ga Pa Dha Ni Dha Ma Ma Ga. So the Ma is also added. It also adds its own beauty to the composition. Ma Ga Sa Re Ni Dha Sa. There may be some other raga which we need to more explore upon. But the overall feel of the bhajan resembles Jana Sammohini raga, where you have
Giridhar Bala He Nandalala Devi Sai Ma Devi Saraswati Ma सुनो मेरे पर वक्रपालो.
All these bhajans.
When Gauri Nath hai?
Yeah, beautiful bhajan. Gauri Nath hai, Vishwanath hai. Ga ma re re. So it starts with the ga ma, the flavor.
Amazing.
There is also one rag which I am reminded of is Kalavati,
mm-hmm.
where the feel is sa ga pa da ni. Sane da paga sane sa. Sari ri is not there.
Yes.
Saga padane sane da paga. We have a beautiful bhajan in Kalavati. Nanda mukunda hari gopala. It has only 5 notes, but the feel of the composition is very, very melodious.
Amazing. Okay, so coming back to Jana Sammohini, very interesting, the name of the raga also is like the name of a devi.
Yeah.
We have Simhavahini Sai Narayani in Jana Sammohini.
And you have rarely bhajans which start with Simhavahini or which has the word Simhavahini.
Yes.
Yet another bhajan is Dehi Sharanam Simhavahini.
Yes, very, very few bhajans.
Yeah, very few bhajans.
And the bhajan also is very beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think once you do the swaras, you love the bhajan even more.
Definitely. We'll do the first line and explore what is there.
Yes.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani Sanidapagare Nini Sagare Sa
Sanidapagare Nini Sagare Sa
Mata Maheshwari Durga Bhavani Ga 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 ma re ga ga ma pa ni da pa
Ga 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 ma re ga ga ma pa ni da pa
Simhavahini Sai Narayani Sanidapagare Nini Sagare Sa
Sanidapagare Nini Sagare Sa
Akhilandeshwari Jaya Jagajanani Sasanida sa 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 ri ni dha
sa sa ni dha sa 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 ri ni dha
abhaya pradayini anandarupini ni 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 ri 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 ga ga ri sa ri sa
ni 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 re 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 ga ga re sa re sa
mangalakarini moksha pradayini sa 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 ni da pa ni da pa ga pa da ni ni sa sa
sa sa sa ni da pa ni da pa ga pa da ni ni sa sa.
In the second time of this line, you have a variation.
Mangalakarini moksha pradayini sa sa ri ni da pa ni da pa ga pa da ni ni sa sa
sa sa ri ni da pa ni da pa ga pa da ni ni sa sa.
It indeed sounds so beautiful with the swaras.
Yeah, actually when we went through the swaras, we saw that in each line it starts with sa, hai sa.
Simhavahini.
That is also beauty of a composition which starts with a high sa.
Yes.
Generally, most of the versions you find like starts with a low and then go high and then yes. come back and then
this like Giridhara, it'll go yeah. up. Yeah.
Yeah. Jagadashreya. Yes. So many versions. It's yes. like starts with low. This it has its own charm.
Yes. Amazing. What about its beat, Anirudh?
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, which is the regular Adi Talam. The count is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Mata Maheshwari Durga Bhavani.
Mata Maheshwari Durga Bhavani.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
Simhavahini Sai Narayani.
It was really a very refreshing session. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So now we are familiar with the lyrics, the tune, the raga, and the beat of this bhajan. And it's time to move on to another very, very significant aspect of bhajan singing, which is singing with feeling for the one to whom we are singing. Every bhajan is a medium to relate to the Lord in a very personal way for every devotee. And today let us listen to one brother's musical journey and musical insights when he contemplated on this bhajan. Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university who sang in the Divine Physical Presence of Bhagwan for 5 years and now lives in Chennai and continues to sing regularly at Bhagwan's abode in Chennai in Sundaram. So here is what Brother Balram Chandran has to say about how this bhajan sends him within, makes him seek him within.
Sai Ram, it's always a very special experience ruminating on any of Swami's bhajans. When I pick up this particular bhajan, Simhavahini Sai Narayan, I felt that it belongs to a particular genre of the Devi bhajans that we have. Because based on my limited learning about bhajans, what I've observed is, if you look at Devi bhajans, there are broadly two broad genres of bhajans. There are bhajans which focus on the physical aspect of the Divine Mother. And there are a few bhajans which don't necessarily focus on a physical aspect. They actually focus more on the divine attributes of the Mother. In my humble opinion, Simhavahini Sai Narayani is a bhajan which actually belongs to the latter category, the one which focuses on the divine attributes. Basically, if you look at any bhajan, I've always believed that there are certain key words which kind of act as an anchor, and these words kind of determine the drift of the entire bhajan. Now, just to pick up a few words which are part of Simhavahini Sai Narayan. Now, here, if you see, the Mother is referred to as Jagat Janani, as the Mother of the entire world. There's a very famous hymn which says, Jagata Pitara Vande Parvati Parameshwar. Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati are described as the Father and the Mother of the entire cosmos. So, here the bhajan praises the motherhood of God. In general, we talk of fatherhood of God, but here I think it talks about the motherhood of God. When I talk about the Mother as the progenitor, as the origin of the entire world or the entire creation, there's a very beautiful experience which actually comes to mind. And this is what came to my mind when I was contemplating on this particular bhajan. I've heard this wonderful experience of a Sai brother who was a very sincere sadhaka, a very sincere spiritual aspirant. He was very fond of actually reading the Lalita Sahasranama, which contains the 1,000 names of the Divine Mother who is worshipped in the form of Goddess Lalita. Now, while this episode happened, I believe that this Sai brother was actually reading a book on Vedanta. You know, what is also known as Upanishads. And that night, when he went to sleep, he offered a prayer at Swami's lotus feet. He said, "Swami, please help me to understand the mystery of life." And offering that prayer, that brother goes to sleep. But that night, he has a beautiful dream. In this dream, first he sees Swami appear in the form we've always known him. So Swami appears in his beautiful form. Swami starts smiling, and in fact is a very small bud of a smile, you know, the preview of the actual smile which comes out. So first he starts smiling, there's a half a smile, then it becomes a full-blown smile. And then Swami starts laughing loudly. Now that's something which you don't hear or don't see very commonly with Swami, but Swami laughing out loudly. And the moment Swami laughs out loudly, all this happens in that brother's dream. The moment Swami laughs out loudly, what happens is the brother sees Swami's form disappear, and the place where Swami's form stood, he actually sees the form of the Divine Mother in the form of Goddess Lalita. And remember, I told you that he was a person who was very fond of reading the Lalita Sahasranama, the thousand names of the mother who is worshipped as Lalita. In fact, Lalita means in Sanskrit the playful one. So he sees the mother, and the mother is in a seated posture. Now after that, what this brother sees is that he actually sees that the form of the mother starts growing. It starts growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Till finally what happens is, it is as though she has become so big that her head is kind of touching the sky with her feet firmly grounded on earth. Now suddenly what happens is, in this magnified form, the brother observes a lot of details which were not very apparent when the mother revealed herself to him in the small form. Now in the expanded form, he notices a lot of interesting details. Suddenly he finds that all over the mother's body, there are small babies, there are small children who are actually playing. The second interesting thing he notices is that these children are actually playing in groups. The third thing he notices that these children were playing in groups, so each group had a particular characteristic. For example, the children who were playing together were looking very similar because they were dressed similarly. Now suddenly he found that a group of children were actually dressed like politicians. So these were all the politicians, you know, children playing on the body of the Divine Mother. There were a group of children who were playing like policemen. They were a group of children who were, you know, wearing a three-piece suit, who actually were, you know, like executives who work in a corporate world. There were a group of people who were normal civilians, a group of children who were dressed like normal civilians. There were even a group of children who were actually, you know, like thieves holding daggers in their hand. They had, you know, knives in their hand. They had, you know, they had weapons in their hand. So they had, now they were all the thieves. But on one side, there was a very interesting group which was dressed in ochre robe. You know, ochre robe was dressed actually in saffron. These were all the sannyasis. These were all the saints and sages who were playing on the mother's body. So it was very interesting to see all these children play. Now, the most interesting thing was that these children who were playing on the mother's body seemed to be unaware of the fact that they are actually playing on the body of the mother. You know, just like if, say, an ant is running on my body, I would, you know, the ant would be kind of unaware that it's running on my body. These children seem to be totally oblivious to the fact that they actually were playing on the body of the Divine Mother. And suddenly, you know, this brother sees all this beautiful vision in his dream, and suddenly the brother hears the mother speak in her beautiful voice. The mother says, "Do you see all these children who are playing on my body? They are all my darling children. They are all engaged in playing their favorite games. But they do not realize that it is my game that they are actually playing." And then the mother goes on to say that when one of them gets tired of playing this game, then they start crying for me, And when they cry for me, I offer them succor by raising them to my bosom. He hears these beautiful words and suddenly the mother's form disappears and then he sees Swami's form coming back. And the moment that happens, a particular verse, a particular couplet from the Lalita Sahasranama just kind of hits him, just kind of comes into his memory, and it hits him like a lightning flash. And the verse which hits him like a lightning flash is Janma Mrityu Jara Tapta Jana Vishranti Daini. The mother is actually described as the person who offers succor or refuge to beings who are actually stuck in the cycle of birth and death. Now if you, when I ruminated this entire thing, I think it's so beautiful because here if you see the mother is actually referred to as the origin of the entire world. All beings in the world are actually just children who, you know, even the so-called sannyasis whom, you know, who are worshipped, who in fact the great gurus who are worshipped, all of them, all the great beings, even they are just children who actually play on the mother's body and they're totally oblivious to the presence of the mother. And it's actually her game that they are playing, and that's why she's called Lalita, the playful one. Whenever I think about this, I'm reminded of what Swami is saying, and Swami says, life is a game played. Maybe this is what he means. So, such a beautiful thing. Now, this comes to my mind whenever I think about Simhavahini Sainarayani, because here, in fact, she's spoken about as Jagat Janani, you know, as the mother of the entire cosmos. Now, having said this, let me share a very interesting episode from the life of a great saint in India, which has got, according to me, a very interesting parallel. If you read the Gospel of Ramakrishna, which records everything or most of the interactions with Sri Ramakrishna, the great saint of India actually had, you know, had interactions with his disciples, with his monastic disciples, with the householder disciples. There is a very interesting conversation there. In fact, once Sri Ramakrishna, while speaking to his devotees, speaks about a very interesting episode from the life of Arjuna and Krishna. Now, I believe once Arjuna glorified Krishna as a great avatar. And when Arjuna glorified Krishna as an avatar, Krishna kind of takes into a garden. And in the garden, there are various, you know, there's a lot of vegetation, there's a lot of greenery, there are a lot of trees. Now, Krishna takes Arjuna, leads Arjuna towards a particular tree, and the tree seems to be filled with lot of black colored berries. And from the far, when far away Arjuna looks at it, he finds that there are a lot of black colored berries which are actually hanging from the tree. Now Krishna leads Arjuna towards the tree, and as Arjuna gets closer to the tree, he suddenly realizes that what appeared from a distance as black colored berries were in reality not black colored berries. He suddenly realizes to his amazement that each one of them, each of those black colored berries were actually a Krishna. Because remember, Krishna is the one who is dark in color. So, you know, these berries which actually appeared like, you know, the dark berries, so to say, were actually not dark berries. They were actually Krishna. Arjuna was amazed because Krishna pointed out to him to show that there were many, many Krishnas. There were many, many Krishnas, innumerable Krishnas who were actually hanging from the tree. Sri Ramakrishna narrates this to his disciples and says that Krishna reveals to Arjuna, saying that Arjuna, you praised me as an avatar. Okay, you're right, I'm an avatar. But please understand, if this Krishna is an avatar, this Krishna is only one berry amongst those many berries which grow on the tree. And then he reveals to Arjuna that, oh Arjuna, that tree is the Divine Mother. So again, so very beautiful. Now if you link the two episodes, that's why it's very, very amazing to me. If you look at the, you know, the earlier episode which we were discussing where where Swami revealed himself to the Sai brother, to the Sadaka, the Sai brother as actually the Divine Mother. Okay, as Goddess Lalita whose play this entire cosmos is. And if you link it with this particular episode where Sri Ramakrishna was considered an avatar himself, talks about another avatar, Lord Krishna, and he shares how Lord Krishna spoke to Arjuna, saying that, yes, I am an avatar, but then I am just a fruit in the tree, and the tree is a Divine Mother. In the early episode, Swami was a Divine Mother. So beautiful it is. Now, if you look at the entire thing, sometimes when I wonder, when we refer to Swami as an avatar, I get a feeling we're actually pulling him one step down. Because I think Swami, avatar is, I think, maybe the best word we can think about, but I think Swami is much, much bigger. Swami is a tree, you know, Swami is that cosmic Lord, that cosmic mother from which all creation comes, and even the avatars actually come from him. So such a beautiful episode. If you actually put these two together, that's how it's so very beautiful. And that's one thing which comes to my mind the moment you hear the word Jagat Janani in this particular bhajan. Like I said, every bhajan has got a few words which act as an anchor, and that determines the drift of the entire bhajan. Now, if you look at the other word here, which is, you know, we say Simha Vahini Sai Narayani. Now, Narayani is actually the feminine aspect of Narayana. Now, there's an interesting thought which came to my mind when I was contemplating on this particular word in this bhajan. Once, remember, Swami mentioned in a discourse that the mind is actually Vishnu Swarupa. And Vishnu or Narayana, so the mind is actually Vishnu Swarupa. And at that point of time, I still remember wondering, I mean, how can the mind be considered Vishnu Swarupa? Because generally we say the mind is an obstacle for our spiritual progress. But Swami mentioned in the discourse that mind is Vishnu Swarupa, or mind is the form of Vishnu, or Vishnu is the mind. Now, I really started wondering. Now, then suddenly something, you know, on a deeper contemplation, by His grace, there's something which kind of just struck me. Now, often the Divine Mother is referred to as the sister of Vishnu. In fact, there's another bhajan which Swami Himself sing, which comes as, you know, Amba Shankari Parameshwari Shashi Shekari Amba. Now, there, in fact, she is referred to as Hari Sodari, or the sister of Hari. Now, somehow, suddenly, you know, on deep contemplation of Swami's grace, there was a certain connection which emerged between, you know, Narayani and also Hari Sodari. And, you know, the other concept of Swami saying that, you know, mind is Vishnu Swarupa. Now, if you actually say, you know, why is the Divine Mother Parvati, why is she referred to as the sister of Vishnu? Now, I think there are two levels of meaning to this. One level of meaning is that if you look at the Krishna avatar, now, as you would know, in the Krishna avatar, what happens is Krishna is born in the prison, and then for his safety, he is taken, all the way to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, there's a girl baby who's actually the baby of Yashoda. She is brought all the way and she's kept in the prison. And because they assume that Kamsa, Krishna's uncle, would see the girl baby and would not, you know, kind of harm her. But then what happens is Kamsa walks in. Despite it being a girl baby, he decides to kill it. He, in fact, hurls the baby with the intention to kill her. But suddenly the baby assumes the original form, laughs at him, and says that, "You think you can harm me? I am actually the Divine Mother." So in that particular episode from Krishna's, you know, Krishna's avatar, you see that she played briefly the role of Krishna's sibling. And that is one, one level of meaning, which one episode which, you know, gives her the name of Hari Sodari, or, you know, the sister of Hari. So that's why she is Narayani there. But if you link it back to what Swami was saying, and Swami says that mind is Vishnu. Now, the same thing actually appears to you from a slightly different, you know, from a slightly higher angle, or from a spiritual angle. There's a very interesting twist which comes to the entire life. Now, she is the sister of Vishnu, but how? Now, Swami says mind is Vishnu. Now, if you look at the Trinity, you look at Shiva, you look at, you know, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Brahma is supposed to be the creator. Shiva is the person who destroys. Vishnu is a person who sustains. Now, suddenly it struck me that in another discourse, Swami has said, Mane eva manushyanam karanam vanda mokshyoho. Swami has also said, Mano moolam idam jagat. The entire world exists because of the mind. Because in a way, if you see, the world is supposed to be an illusion, and it is the mind which sustains this illusion called the world. Now, from that perspective, if you see, the mind does a job of sustenance. And sustenance is, you know, is clearly the function of Vishnu. So definitely, like Swami said, it's so beautiful. Mind is Vishnu, mind is playing the form of Vishnu. Now, mind creates this illusion called the world. Now, the illusion is also called Maya. Okay, and if you see, the goddess, mother goddess, is also referred to as Mahamaya. Now, only when the mind exists, does illusion exist. In other words, If one does not exist, the other does not exist. So these are people, these are two things which are born together. In that sense, you know, it's so beautiful. Vishnu and Mahamaya, or, you know, Narayana and the goddess, they are brother and sister because you're the born together or they exist together. So that is again so beautiful. So beautiful. So I think anything which Swami says has got a wonderful meaning. So that's the other thought which kind of came into my mind, I think, when I thought about this. Now, one thought again which I'd like to link to this is another famous poet saint in India, Goswami Tulasidas, who is actually very famous for the work called Ramcharitmanas, where he's actually written the story of Lord Rama. There's a beautiful song of Tulsi. Now, if you see, Tulsidas generally writes songs on Rama, as you would expect, because he's a devotee of Rama. But there's a beautiful song which actually goes like this. Jai Jai Jagajanani Devi Sura Naramuni Asura Sevi Bhakti Mukti Daini Bhayaharani Kalika. So as you would see, this bhajan is actually about the Divine Mother. Now, I was very surprised when I heard Tulsidas composing a song on the Divine Mother. But actually, if you see the last stanza, it goes like this. Jaya Mahesha Bhamini Aneka Rupa Namini Samasta Loka Swamini Hima Shaila Balika Raghupati Pada Parama Prema Tulasi Aha Chalanema Dehu Vai Prasanna Pahi Pranata Kalika Jay Jay Jagajanani Devi. In the last line, what Tulsi beautifully does is, he says, O Mother, I crave to attain the lotus feet of Lord Rama. And Lord Rama for him is the cosmic Lord. And he said that I cannot do that unless I have your grace. Because unless Mahamaya makes way, you will never be able to reach the Lord. So, that's again very, very beautiful. Now, if you actually see Narayani or Harisodri, she is the Maya. You need her grace if you have to attain the Lord. So here it's very special that in this particular bhajan, we use the word, we refer to Swami as Narayani because he is, of course, our destination. He is also the person who would enable us to actually reach the destination. So, you know, two or three thoughts which actually came into my mind, and these are all related, you know, when I contemplate on this particular bhajan. And here again, the mother is referred to as somebody who is the remover of all, you know, all fears. She grants abhaya of fearlessness. Now, when I talk about this, there's one experience which comes to mind which I would like to share, and that is what, you know, automatically I started contemplating when I sang this bhajan. This is a personal experience, so with Swami's grace, I hope to share this personal experience. Now, this is during my, just after my student days, when I got an opportunity to visit Vrindavan. Swami was in Vrindavan. The rooms inside the Vrindavan ashram were all full, so we had to find some accommodation outside in the village. It was not a proper accommodation, it was, you know, kind of a makeshift accommodation, where we were given some place to stay in some house. Now, we were supposed to go for darshan early in the morning. Early in the morning, you're supposed to go and see Swami. And what happened is that I had to, it was about maybe 3:30, 4 in the morning, I actually had to come out of the house. I actually had to take along with me another Sai brother who had come along with me to have darshan. Now, he was in a different place, so the only way I couldn't get into that building, the only way I had to actually, you know, get hold of him is by trying to attract his attention by, you know, by calling out from the window outside on the street. And the house was overlooking a street. It was one of those, you know, not even proper roads, those kacha roads that you have, because it is the village which is there around the Vrindavan ashram. So I was right out on the street. It must have been about 3:30, 4 in the morning, early in the morning, pitch dark, no proper street lights. I come outside and I'm calling out to this Sai brother. Now, suddenly, at that point of time, what happens is that I'm calling out to Sai brother, but behind me I hear some snarling sounds. Now, for a moment I'm wondering where the snarling sounds are coming from, and I turn around and suddenly I find that there's a street dog. Now, I'm really, really scared of dogs right from birth. Now, here was a street dog which was glowing, and, you know, its eyes were glowing. It was ferociously kind of looking at me. And I was so scared. For a moment I was frozen. I didn't know what to do. Now, suddenly, to my horror, I realized that behind that street dog, there were 3-4 other street dogs. Now, the natural instinct was to start running. Now, the moment, that's the wrong thing to do, you know, when a dog is trying to chase you. Now, I started running, And immediately, you know, the dogs kind of started chasing. And the distance was so short that definitely one of the dogs would have bitten me. There were four or five dogs, a pack of dogs, which were actually chasing me. You know, I still remember in that moment. I still remember. I was actually running. Still remember. It was as though somebody caught hold of me by the shoulder. I still remember that experience. You know, that it was a very physical kind of an experience. I remember somebody actually catching hold of me by my shoulder and turning me around, and suddenly I found myself facing the dogs. And immediately what I did is, I lifted my finger to my lips and said, shh, I actually hissed at the dogs. Now for a moment, the dogs were all stunned. There were these 5-6 dogs which were stunned because they didn't know what to do. Because suddenly here was a person who was running away. And suddenly the person stops, does a complete U-turn, and actually asks the dogs to shut up. Now I don't think the dogs expected that. And they were stunned. They were stunned. And in fact, they were completely quiet. In fact, they stopped barking. They stopped snarling. And very coolly, you know, I kind of walked away almost in slow motion. Now, after I got into the safety of, you know, the compound, I suddenly realized, oh my God, what did I do? And I'm still scared of dogs. But, you know, in that particular moment, when I recount the experience, so beautiful. I definitely would have been hurt if I had not responded that way. And I'm sure it is not, you know, it's not my normal nature to respond that way. But I firmly believe it was Swami, because what Swami did is, when required, he actually gave me fearlessness to actually face the dogs. I think the lesson which I would like to take away is that the mother, Swami, the Divine Mother, actually gives us the courage to face the world. There are a lot of challenges in the world, because the challenges are no doubt painful. They are no doubt something which causes us stress. But I think Swami gives us the confidence to face the world. And that's what comes to my mind when I hear the word Abhaya Pradaya. So, this is again one beautiful thought which came. So, well, let me conclude with one beautiful experience which I had when I was actually preparing, you know, for this particular bhajan, when I was preparing for this particular session. When Brother Bishu called me and said that I will get this opportunity, I was delighted. And I was ruminating on this bhajan, and I was on my way to office. Now, this is in Chennai, the place where I live. Now, suddenly what happens is, right on the road, I suddenly come across a car. So I'm on my two-wheeler. Right in front of me is a car, which is kind of, you know, driving. And behind the car, I suddenly notice there is a sticker. There's a sticker which is stuck, you know, the typical round stickers which is stuck behind cars. And suddenly I find on that sticker, on the right-hand side portion of the sticker, okay, one half of that circle, I suddenly find there's a beautiful pose of Swami with an Abhyahasta. And on the other portion is the Divine Mother. Now I was zapped, because in Chennai you don't very often see, I mean, you see, you know, the Swami Shirdi form more often than Swami's own form. But here was Swami's photo, and for the first time in my life, I actually saw the Divine Mother on one half and then Swami on the other half. It literally was Simhavahini on one side and Sai Narayani on the other side. So I was very grateful to Swami that it was for me, you know, a kind of a sign from Swami that whatever opportunity I've got now is a blessing which He has given. With this, I offer whatever I have said at Swami's lotus feet. I'm sure there's a lot of ignorance in me. There could be a lot of things which I have said wrong. But yes, whatever I have said right or wrong, I offer at Swami's lotus feet. Jai Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a regular singer at Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, in Sundaram. And with that, let's move on to the final aspect of this program. You will now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of his university in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanti Nilayam.
Durga Bhavani,
with that, we come to an end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We are grateful to Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity to share our insights and our thoughts and our experience of this beautiful bhajan. Thank you so much.
So with that, it's time to move to the next segment of Thursday Life. Prem and Ganesh, my colleagues, are waiting to start the Radio Sai Children's Hour. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu, and I will be back after 60 minutes of Radio Sai Children's Hour, and we'll move on to a new episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Today you will listen to the Vice Chancellor of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning sharing his reflections on the university. And then we'll move on to the next episode of the beautiful discussion, the musical discussion on the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. So that is what is in store 1 hour from now. For the moment, enjoy the Radio Sai Children's Hour. Thank you so much. Sairam.